Good afternoon and welcome to our virtual meeting. It's 1:30 on July 6, 2021 and time to reconvene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County BUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Sid Logan, President of the Commission. In accordance with Governor's Proclamation 20-28.15, we are holding meetings remotely. In our meeting to have, joining us shortly will be Commissioner Rebecca Wolf. We have Commissioner Tony Olson, John Harlow, our CEO General Manager, Ann Spangler, our General Counsel, Melissa Collins, our Commission Executive Services Director, Allison Morrison, Assistant Clerk of the Board, Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board, and Lila Wall, Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please mute and turn off the camera on your devices when not speaking. I'll ask for questions or comments on agenda items as each item is discussed. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Some questions can be answered during the meeting while others may require more time. Please indicate you'd like to speak by clicking raise hand in the software, or if joining by telephone, dial *9 and I'll call on you at the appropriate time to speak. Commissioners, are there any items to be added or changes to be made to the published agenda?
This is Commissioner Olson. I have none.
Okay. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, state and spell your name and indicate where you are from, please. Comments from the public is item 3 on today's agenda, and that's when the board will hear comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. So first up on our agenda this afternoon is item 3, comments from the public. Are there any comments from the public on items not listed on today's agenda? Please state your first and last name for the record and please raise your hand. I'm looking, so far I don't see any raised hands. Okay, seeing no raised hand, next we'll move to item 4, our consent agenda. 4A, approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of June 15th, 2021. 4B, bid awards, professional service contracts and amendments. 4C, consideration of certification / ratification and approval of district checks and vouchers. 4D, consideration of a resolution approving amendment number 4 to the collective bargaining agreement between Public Utility District number 1 of Snohomish County and the International Brotherhood of Electric Workers local number 77 for the period of April 1st, 2020 through March 31, 2024. I will call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay. Are there any comments from the public regarding our consent agenda? If so, please raise your hand. I'm not seeing any hands raised. Are there any questions or comments? Commissioner Olson.
Yes, I have comments in two areas. The first is with regard to the resolution for the amendment to the collective bargaining agreement. I just wanted to personally commend staff for getting on this right away and expediting it. We were briefed on it previously on the need to take a look at this. And I am hoping that the outcome was addressed many of our issues with regard to retention and recruitment. So I commend staff for that. My second item is on the bid report. Gotta find it first here. On the award for advanced metering infrastructure, SAP systems integrator services. I just wanted to note for the record that I will be supporting that award, but I want to link it to something else in terms of the district's deployment plan. And part of my support of this award is based on the business case that staff presented to us at the last meeting on their chosen deployment plan. That's all I have.
Okay. Commissioner Wolf, do you have any questions? You're on mute. You're still on mute, Commissioner Wolf.
unmute.
Now you're unmuted.
I was on time for this meeting, but I went back to get the link and I could not find it in my email. So we have to, I don't know. I shouldn't have been on this late because I was seated in time, but the link that we had for this morning, after we ended the meeting, it just disappeared. So I am sorry that whatever happened did happen, but so maybe somebody else has an explanation as to what happens after you guys in the meeting, the recording stops and I go back and I can't find the link in my email. I can find it.
Rebecca, Commissioner Wolf?
Yes.
We're actually on the consent agenda right now, asking if there was any questions related to that. I can definitely help you with your links later. I think it's the same issue because nothing's changed. So we can discuss that later.
Okay, well, the consent agenda.
Yes, did you have any questions on the consent agenda?
No, I don't. I looked at it, I don't.
Okay. I had a Commissioner Olson, were you done with your questions?
Yes, comments? I was. Thank you.
I thought you were. I have a couple of questions on the consent agenda. We have a generator purchase for Calmback, and I'm just curious what kind of generator this is. Is this a standby fossil fuel generator, or is that some kind of generator that's driven by the project?
Brad Spangler's on the line, Commissioner Logan. It looks like he's trying to unmute.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Good afternoon, commissioners and staff. Brad Spangler, Senior Manager for Generation. That generator is the existing hydroelectric generator that's down inside Calmback Dam, uses the static head of the reservoir to generate all the power necessary to run the operations at Calmback Dam. It's the same generator with one rebuild that was installed in 1987 to 90. And so this is, because we have additional load now, this is a replacement generator and load bank and control system to make it a more reliable system.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
My next question was on the agreement with King County Brightwater. And I'm wondering, is this a public organization and should this be an interlocal agreement?
So Commissioner Logan, this is Ann Spangler. Whether we title it an interlocal or not, so long as we follow the requirements for an interlocal, which means bringing it to you for formal approval and posting it on our website, we've complied with that act.
Perfect, thank you. Okay. Are there any other questions on the consent agenda, commissioners? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye. Aye, motion carries. Next is item 5, items for individual consideration. 5A, consideration of a motion accepting the asset protection monitoring report. I'll call for a motion.
I move acceptance.
Okay, we have Jen Herling available to answer questions. Is there a presentation that goes with this? I don't.
No, commissioners, there's no presentation planned.
Okay. Well, so first I'll ask if there's any comments from the public regarding the protection monitoring report. If so, please raise your hand. Not seeing any raised hands from the public. Are there any questions or comments from the commissioners?
I have none. This is Commissioner Olson.
Commissioner Wolf, no questions.
All right. I have none too. Thank you, Jim. I'll call for a vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next is item 5B, consideration of a resolution authorizing the CEO general manager or his designee to execute a contract with the City of Seattle, City Light Department for provisions of third-party operating reserve services as permitted under the district's transmission contract with the Bonneville Power Administration. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay. We have Ian Hunter available to answer any questions. First, I'll ask if there's any comments or questions from the public regarding this resolution. Okay, not seeing any. Are there any questions or comments from you, commissioners?
I have none.
Commissioner Olson, I just wanted to note for the record that the board was briefed on this on May 18th of 2021, excuse me.
Thank you. And I just had a brief question. Do we call on these very often? And would an event like the recent heat event be a time that we might call on these reserves?
Good afternoon, commissioners. I'm so used to addressing you in the morning. That's a great question. The need for operating reserves is called on by the balancing authority. So the balancing authority says, you know, there's a need for these operating reserves. So they send a signal to the operating reserve provider. In some cases, it's Bonneville. In this case, it would be Seattle for when the balancing area needs those reserves. I would have to look into whether or not the heat event was a case where Bonneville called on operating reserves. Typically, it's for more equipment style failures rather than, you know, energy needs. But there are very specific parameters around when they can be called upon. So we can do a little bit of research and get back to you on that.
I was just curious if you knew.
Yeah, generally speaking, we do not call on operating reserves, or rather our operating reserve obligation is not called upon often.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions, commissioners?
I have none.
None from me.
I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Motion carries. Next is item 6, our CEO General Manager report. Do you have a report for us today, John?
Yeah, just a couple items to go over. I'm going to start and really just continue the kudos to a couple more teams that helped us manage through the recent heat wave. First out of our power rates and transmission, based on the Power Scheduling Council, that high power prices were projected for the summer months. Generation staff kept Spada Lake Reservoir as full as possible, and drawing on the full generation capacity of the Jackson Project during the three hottest days of the recent heat wave, the Jackson Project produced enough power to offset the purchase of over $420,000 from the power market, which peaked at over 10 times its average rate. Special thanks go to the generation operators, our engineers and biologists, and to power scheduling staff for their combined efforts in avoiding these high costs for our customer owners. And then also in the facilities maintenance group, facility staff were able to keep our buildings cooled during this past weekend with the extremely high heat wave into triple digit temperatures on Monday. A huge shout out to our group working together as we received several high temperature alarms for the ECDC building, air handling units, which serve ECC and the data center. Our maintenance staff and engineers worked together to both on-site and through the computer programming to get everything running well through the incredible heat. Fantastic job. And we had heard stories from some of our peers who didn't have such good luck handling the heat wave and their air handling units and those data centers shut down. Energy Services Group, we received the Smart Energy Provider designation from APPA again, and will be recognized at the Customer Connections Conference in October. The designation scores the district regarding customer service, sustainability, and energy services. And this year, our score actually went up another 6 points from previous years. We'll be sharing more after the conference in October. Our Energy Design Assistance Program, which launched earlier this year, continues to see new applications come in from throughout our service territory. So a historically hard to reach market, we are seeing great participation from the commercial and industrial new construction segment. And this program will yield strong results that will benefit the district and customers alike for years to come. Several large projects have increased the efficiency of their design in order to participate. Energy Services looks forward to giving the commissioners a more detailed presentation in the coming months. And additionally, our residential solar continues to boom. We have 49 new projects come in through June, which is a record since ending that of the Solar Express. And then our customer service group, again, outstanding service levels. June, we ended at 97%. Year to date, that service level is over 90%, and we continue to see improvements with call handling times as the teams work on efficiencies, which further enhance our customer experience. And that's it.
John, I have a question. I wasn't on when you were going, when we were going over the receipts. And so all of those Solar Express, maybe this is for a different person, but all of those Solar Express, A, B, you know, all A, B, C, to down through the alphabet, and then A, B, B, are those our customers? Does that represent a client or a customer?
That's a good question. I'd ask if Pam Bailey may be able to answer that, or if Jeff is, or Susie are on the call. Here's Pam.
Good morning, commissioners. This is Pam Bailey, AGM at Customer and Energy Services. And yes, those are representative of individual customers.
Okay, I figured that, but I wanted to ask. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for John about his report? I'll just make a comment. You know, it's wonderful that the Jackson project was able to bail us out to such a large extent during this heat event. So appreciate the wise use of our resources. Okay.
Yeah, just huge kudos to the entire team for managing through a really extremely unusual circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. I had an outage nearby and it was resolved amazingly quick. They were just sure it has something to do with the commissioner living close by. And of course, it had nothing to do with the commissioner living close by. It just had to do with great service.
But don't they, excuse me, this is Commissioner Olson, but don't they in your neighborhood all know what you do?
They do.
Mine unfortunately do.
and they call.
Yeah.
So next is item 7, commission business. First, we have 7A, commission reports. Are there any reports, commissioners?
I just wanted to mention that although I wasn't able to attend the ESC meeting on the morning that it happened, which was the 29th of June, but they have recordings and I watched the recording twice. And I really want to recommend it to anybody who missed it because it's on YouTube and you just do the search for Economic Alliance of Snohomish County Coffee Chats, Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion, and it's worth every minute of your time. So I really enjoyed that. Maybe the other commissioners were on it on the right day, but no matter when you watch it, it's really worth your time.
Okay, any other reports, commissioners? Okay, hearing none, we'll next move to 7B, our commissioner event calendar. Are there any changes to the event calendar?
I have a question, Commissioner Logan. On August, shouldn't we add August 17th discussion about the board owner linkage plan? And then also in August, I believe we were supposed to have a report on what the Government Affairs Department found regarding what we would need to do if we wanted to expand the board from 3 to 5 members.
Well, this is our event calendar. So these are just the meetings we attend.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Outside.
Got ahead of myself. Okay. So that would be,
And those are scheduled under the governance planning calendar.
I beg your pardon. Live and learn. Okay.
Okay. So if there's no changes to the events calendar, the next thing is item 7C, 2021 budget forecast and major project status report. The May results. Sarah Bond is here. And this is, I'm trying to remember which page this is on in our board
136.
Yes. Are there any questions or comments about the report?
I would like a little bit of, I would like to understand better the $15 million, I guess it is, $293,000 under net operating income. And is that deficit, we expect that that gap will be filled by the other operating revenues?
So that gap is primarily due to higher purchase power costs and higher O&M expenses. And the O&M expenses are primarily driven by the storms that we had, about a $7 million hit on the storms.
Yeah.
So that's what, because we're really close to budget on revenues. So the deficit on the net income side is really due to the increase in operating expenses.
Well, thank you. I was just wondering if we expect that that would be made up by the revenues.
No. I mean, we are still forecasting budgeted revenues. And you can see the forecast for our projection for year end on the next page. And we are forecasting to be slightly upside down on net income.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions on the report?
I have none.
Okay. I have one quick question. I'm curious where we are with Hat Island and working with the tribe on the rights to putting that cable in.
Yeah. I think Mark is on the line. I'm going to let Mark give us an update on that. Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Can you hear me okay, Commissioner Logan?
Yes.
Great. So we've been continuing to work with the Tulalip tribes, and primary point of contact is Julia Gold. She's the planning director there. We've enlisted the help of Ray Stephenson. You probably remember that name. He's also a Hat Island resident. He's been dialoguing directly with a member of the board. And we've increased our compensation offer for the easement. And we've written another offer letter, and it's just awaiting Guy Payne's signature, which we'll receive tomorrow, and we'll deliver that compensation offer to the Tulalips this week.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
So any other questions on the budget forecast and major project report, commissioners?
Just a follow-up to Mark's response. Does that mean that the issues that we, I mean, I read all about that and in the report, and it sounds like there were still remaining issues. Does that mean that they are being resolved, or they have been resolved?
Yeah, Commissioner Wolf, I'd characterize them as being actively worked on. We're there's really three parties here. There's the Hat Island residents, the PUD, our goal to continue to provide service, and then the Tulalip tribe. And there's a little bit of history between the Tulalip tribe and the Hat Island residents that's being actively worked on by the former mayor.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Next is item 7B, our public commission meeting security update. We have Ann Spangler, our general counsel, here to provide a presentation.
Commissioners? Let's see if I can have control of this.
Thank you for sending the legal background on that. Thank you very much.
Great. Looks like Leela, I'm having trouble controlling it, so maybe you can run it for me. Oh, there we go. Looks like it works now. Yeah. So commissioners, thank you for the time this morning. What we brought back for you was the a very, very short presentation to answer the questions raised at a previous meeting about sort of what are the ground rules for bringing back in-person commission meetings. Mm-hmm. And whether there are questions about security. So we've just brought back a few slides. We've got Rob Beidler here, our Senior Manager of Security and Emergency Management. You will have received a confidential legal analysis from Paul McMurray, which he sent last week, which is a lot more detailed, although we've summarized it here in this presentation as well. Mm-hmm. Okay. Trying to advance here.
And if you click on the screen, it should give you control.
There we go. Thank you, Lila. So we'll start with the Open Public Meetings Act. This is just a reminder. Mm-hmm. All meetings of the governing body are to be open to the public, and all persons permitted to attend, except as otherwise provided. We are not permitted to place conditions on the public for attending the meeting, such as registering their names or other information, though we can set reasonable rules of conduct. You'll notice this doesn't actually specify the manner in which people participate or the public participates in the meeting. Sorry, let me go back. Next, the guidance on in-person meetings. We tried to summarize quickly here the status of the governor's proclamations about remote meetings in response to the pandemic. We've been operating under proclamation number 2028, which prohibited in-person meetings during the state of emergency and required us to provide remote attendance options. That proclamation is in effect until the emergency is revoked, which has not happened yet. Version 14 of that proclamation, which was issued earlier this year, modified the prohibition to permit in-person meetings in accordance with some guidance provided in the Healthy Washington Proclamation number 2025. For miscellaneous venues. And that guidance allowed for in-person meetings with some restrictions on capacity initially. That has been changed a little bit by the reopening that took place on June 30th, but it is still in effect. So there are virtually no restrictions anymore on capacity or distancing, although there's a slight difference in the rules between how we treat members of the public and how we treat employees. But the district is not required to hold meetings in person. The other point I think we wanted to make, and this is, there's a lot of detail behind this that the commission office is going to be responsible for, is that when we do resume in-person meetings, we have a lot of the little details to work out. So we need to make sure that we plan that carefully. And then I think one of the other questions that was raised is whether we have the ability to restrict possession of firearms in the district's building. And both the memo and this slide indicate under state law, the state has fully preempted regulation of firearms, including possession. And that we are not allowed to prohibit lawful possession of a firearm in areas that are open to the public, including our building. So I hope that answers that question. It's, like I said, it's come up every few years and we pull out this guidance. And then I thought I'd turn it over to Rob Beidler to talk about what are the security protocols that we do have in place, and then allow the commissioners then to ask questions or have the discussion amongst themselves about in-person meetings.
Good afternoon. My piece here will be pretty short. We have 24-hour security at the building. We have the ability to augment that with additional security with a little bit of notice. by drawing in patrols that are in other parts of the county for certain periods of time. All entities, generally speaking, have the ability to, again, augment security by hiring outside security, either private security or law enforcement. And that depends on their availability and willingness. And that cost is, you do it under contract, and it is anywhere between $75 and $100 an hour, generally with a 4-hour minimum. But I can certainly answer any questions about any of those things if you'd like.
Questions, commissioners, on our security protocols?
My question is more for Anne, I think. So the one disclaimer or the one exception is if people in a meeting feel intimidated or threatened, I don't know what the procedure would be. You know, a lot of people, it kind of reminds me of Florida where they have stand your ground. If you feel threatened, you can shoot somebody. I think that's crazy, but I'm just wondering, what would that procedure be? If somebody came in with a long gun, which is allowed, and we felt that it was threatening or scary or intimidating, what would the procedure be? You have to wait till somebody gets hurt or some incident happens before you can file a case or whatever. What would that be like, Anne, if you don't mind?
Yeah, well, I think you're asking two questions, so I will do my best and then I might ask Rob to follow up. You know, we have two options for if you have what I'm gonna call misconduct, you know, if right. More than someone just appearing with a firearm, but actually making intimidations and threats. So we can call 911 and we can call in law enforcement because there are, you know, it is a criminal offense to threaten or intimidate. Mm-hmm. Or we can, and we can close the meeting. So that would be conduct under the Open Public Meetings Act for us to call in our own security and close the meeting. So those are the two things that we might do. What I think Rob can elaborate on a little more is, you know, at what point does it become threatening? Because just carrying a weapon is not in itself, even though some people might find it threatening just to have it on their person. That's not going to be enough for it to be considered intimidating or threatening. So I don't know if that was one of your questions, but.
What if several people in the meeting felt that it was threatening, then what's the procedure for pushing back on it?
Again, it's, I think that we would probably ask the president of the commission to ask one of myself, do we have grounds for disrupting or suspending the meeting? So I think I would leave that to the president of the commission to ask the question and or make a judgment call. But like I said, we've never had a situation arise where we've had to do that.
Right.
And my advice is going to be, it's not enough for one person or a group of people to be uncomfortable with the mere presence of a firearm in the room, because that's a legal activity.
What I was going to suggest as we started talking about this is we always can recess for a short time. Yep. So that the president could regroup with security, with the general counsel, with the CEO, and decide how to proceed.
Yeah.
So I think we always have that option. We can always slow things down and evaluate and deal with it that way too.
Yeah, and a security discussion is always grounds for an executive session as well. So the president of the commission can call for an executive session to discuss a security issue.
Yeah.
I've responded to probably dozens, certainly several dozen calls where people were very uncomfortable because of open carry. mm-hmm. in Snohomish County. And in only just a few of those instances did they do any kind of an overt act that would constitute police action. Generally speaking, it was just their presence the vast majority of the time. And in none of those cases was there grounds for us to take any action.
So ultimately, this is a matter for our legislature to, if they want to provide more safety and security for the public, they're going to have to do something other than yes. what we have now.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Other questions about security measures?
This is Commissioner Olson. I don't have any questions about security measures, and this may not be the appropriate place, but are we, do we have more insecure? I'm getting mixed up here. But is this at the point where we've talked about open meetings and explained careful planning? But commissioners, are we at the point where we probably do need to give staff some direction in mm-hmm. terms of returning to open in-person meetings? And in doing so, I've thought this through. I'm thinking we need to make sure that we have got the technical people available to prepare and also be available that first meeting, because we're changing formats a little bit. And I sense, and I don't know, that with vacations backed up for 2 years, we probably have a lot of folks that would like to are planning on taking time off. So anyway, the bottom line is I believe we should be at the point where we should give staff some direction on our preferences.
Yes, and that was my goal for today.
Oh, is
that,
okay.
No, don't apologize at all. It's a perfect segue is to doing that. And to the topic you or the concern you expressed, Commissioner Olson, I talked with Melissa Collins, and she suggested, because a lot of people are out on vacation in July, that we resume in August. And she favored the second meeting in August, but said the first meeting was possible if we wanted to do it earlier. So today I'd like to decide which meeting that we come back to the hybrid, and then I want to have the conversation to make sure that all three of us are willing to come back in person, why the community can continue to participate in a hybrid fashion. So let's talk about that first. We talked about the laws, we talked about security protocols, we got a primer on open carry and what that means. So commissioners, are all of us willing to come back in person?
Well, it's our duty, as you have pointed out, to be present at the meeting. And if we don't have a choice, we don't really have a choice. Really.
Okay.
This Commissioner Olson, I continue to support the need to return to in-person meetings.
Okay. So if we return in-person meetings, I think that is a great idea. I know some localities are already starting to return. I know the city I live in is returning today. How does the second meeting in August work for each of you? And Melissa, please chime in if that's no longer a good time for us to start.
That's fine with me. I would, if Allison is on the line, I would also like her to chime in on, since she's the one that's worked on the technical aspects of this, if the second meeting in August works for her.
I do believe it would, as long as we have the opportunity to schedule testing time with IT staff and facility staff ahead of time to make sure everything's ready to go and that they're available that day.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Wolf, does that work for you?
Yeah, I can be there.
Okay, good. Is there anything more on scheduling our meetings to come back? Any more questions on the hybrid that was discussed earlier that our community members will be able to participate?
Via Zoom?
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with that. I believe Commissioner Logan, that there was some comment at a previous discussion we had on this, that we somehow put a sentence or two in terms of our governance policies that relate to commissioners' obligations to participate in person. Was there that discussion?
There was a discussion about it. At that time, Commissioner Wolf was saying that she didn't want to come back in person, but I'm suggesting that now, since she is willing to come back in person, maybe we don't need to look at that language. Oh, no, go ahead, Commissioner.
There have been occasions when one of the commissioners, before I became a commissioner, but I remember times when there might have been one or at different times, a commissioner who was unable to attend because of a health issue. And so I hope that will still be an option if a person really has a legitimate reason to do it virtually. I think there is something in the law that provides for that. I'm sure Anne would know.
It's actually, I believe, not in our law. It's in our board policy. I think it's in the GP5 that allows for it. I think the law is silent on it.
This is Commissioner Olson. Since I have been on the board and actually have had surgeries, the surgery was scheduled around my fellow commissioner's approval of the absence. And sometimes you look at the calendar to see what's coming up. But in all instances, it took a nod of the head to approve the commissioner not participating for health reasons.
Yeah, so if I can add in response, commissioners, this is Ann Spangler. The governance policies do permit remote attendance by remote means, telephonic or electronic. And we don't have a statement in the governance policies that mandates attendance in person unless there's a reason that you can't. You don't need to amend the governance policies at this point, unless you want to have a more affirmative statement about the expectation that commissioners will attend in person unless they have extenuating circumstances that require them to appear remotely.
I guess the definition of extenuating, I'd like to know, have that better defined.
Yeah, or, you know, I personally would suggest that we not try to define it too closely to allow for flexibility for the commissioners.
Yeah, all our policy really requires is that a board member arrange it with the clerk of the board in advance. So right now we don't have any restriction. I would certainly be comfortable with visiting a change to the policy to be more specific, but if it becomes a challenge for us. But I think with the three of us committing to resuming meetings in person, I guess I don't see that challenge at this point, but
okay. That's
my thought, but I'm very open to changing it. And, you know, we're going to be into a new world, you know, PPC meetings are going to be largely virtual. And so there's going to be meetings we'll only be able to attend virtually. So.
Well, this Commissioner Olson, I'll give it a go and see how it works. But we do have a commitment this afternoon. So I'll see how it works.
Okay. Thank you. Next is item 7E, our 2022 commission budget. We had an email sent out to us with our proposed budget for next year for our commission budget. Were there any comments, suggestions? I know I have a suggestion.
This is Commissioner Olson, I have no comments.
Okay.
No, I have none.
My only one is that PPC is going to go to only four live meetings a year. And we budgeted to the same as last year. And we budget about $1,000 for each one of those. So I was going to suggest we reduce our budget by $8,000 because we'll be able to attend most of the meetings virtually instead of going to in person in Portland. Any reluctance to decreasing it by $8,000?
I have no problem with that.
I don't have that budget right in front of me. Would you tell me again how much we have for whatever, like a consultant or something like that? How much is allocated for that?
Well, I don't have it up either, but I can look in our emails.
I have it up if you would like it.
That would be wonderful.
Consultation fees is $5,000.
Well, if we wanted to hire a consultant to work with us on any of our issues or our board policy, you know, our board linkage or anything, that's just barely going to buy a lunch for the consultant. I mean, we spent $22,000. We are spending $22,000 just in the last payment. I don't know what else has been paid to our DEI consultant, but I think we keep chipping away at our budget. And I'm not saying that we need it for PPC, Commissioner Logan, but I just hate, I mean, it just seems like our budget is being sucked out every few months, something else. And it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like we are protecting our own commission in that way. So.
Well, it's a budget that we, in my experience, we don't use it all. So I guess I'm uncomfortable budgeting money that we don't think we will use. And so we left the other parts of the budget alone. I'm just suggesting we reduce the $28,670 for travel down by $8,000, since we know we're not going to be traveling to as many PPC meetings.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. But,
okay,
you know,
well, we ultimately have the ultimate budget authority. So the commission, since we approve the budget, we also have the ability to extend the budget. Maybe John or Scott can comment at any time, or Sarah or somebody. But I think Scott's comment last year when we had a conversation was that if we needed more money, that he'd find it for us.
See, but
commissioners, I would say that I'm dumb, but not so dumb that I would tell the commission they can't spend a few dollars if they deem it necessary. I think in the great scheme of things, we're always going to have ups and downs on the budget. So my comment last year was not at all meant to be flippant. I think as a commission, if you see something that's worthwhile that you want to spend, you know, within the reasonable boundaries of ups and downs on budget variances, then I think you should do it. I mean, that's the way we're trying to operate the business in general.
And I'll just chime in from a budgeting perspective. We want you to, you know, determine what what dollars you need, what projects, what conferences, et cetera, that you need and you want to attend or have the funds for. And that's what we'll build the budget around. It's your budget. You guys build it as you see fit to serve your needs.
One thing that I just need to express, and you can respond, Commissioner Logan, when you say, if we decide we need more money, we're assured by the general manager that it will be there. And this is no slight on the general manager. It's just not the way it's supposed to work. We don't go, it's not, it seems paternalistic to say, okay, we the commissioners, we go to a staff to get our needs met. I think we have a right, and I agree with John, it's up to us to decide what we need and to build a budget around it. But we shouldn't have to go and say, oh, okay, we want to hire a consultant and the total is likely to be 35,000 or whatever. And then suddenly we get it. It's not supposed to work that way, as I understand it.
Well, I agree. And that's what my comment was. We have the statutory authority to set the budget level. And to my understanding, although we only do that once a year, if need be, we could redo that at any point during the year to increase the budget if that's what was necessary. So I think what Scott is saying and John and is that, you know, we have many, many budgets and we probably would have budget capacity to fund additional things that we may have without having to do that. But unless I'm wrong, I think the RCW is such that we're the ones that ultimately control the budget and can increase that budget if we need to.
Well, I think I may have misunderstood you. And if for that, I apologize. I thought I heard you say that, well, if we need more money, we've been assured by John that it will be there. That's just, you know, we don't go to John for our budget. And I'm sorry, this is not meant to be critical at all of whoever is the CEO, general manager. It's just, we don't go to staff and ask for the money. We create it, and if the money's there and it's approved, then we get it, I guess.
This is Commissioner Olson.
Go
ahead, Commissioner Olson, and then John.
Yep.
Observation. We typically, at this point, don't spend what we have. And it is true, and historically been true, that if the commission identifies a need, there isn't necessarily a transfer back into our budget. We are supported, and this really, the organization is supported by three quarters of a $1 billion budget. So typically, if we have a need, we don't necessarily move that money into our budget. And a concern I have is that we do establish some amount for consulting services. Let's say year to year, we don't use it. Then from a public's perspective, we're not, you know, why are you, you're not spending what you have. So why do you keep, why are you adding to it? And to me, I also think that in terms of support from the district, do we pay for IT support? Do we pay for accounting support? Do we pay, I mean, there's all kinds of services that support us throughout the organization that the money doesn't show up in our budget. So those are my observations. I've been typically used to not being concerned about drawing money. I look at it bottom line budget. That's the way I have managed a budget.
Okay.
So my comments is that's my input.
And we do have 5,000 in there also for offsite meeting rentals. So if we wanted to have a workshop and get out of the building, we would have $10,000 total to both pay for the room, the consultant, and the consultant's lunch and our lunch. So I'll make a motion that we reduce the budget that was emailed to us on June 21st by taking $8,000 out of the category of travel. Is there any discussion on my motion?
Could you please repeat that motion for the record?
Yeah, let me close my window too. There may be outside noises. I make a motion that we reduce by $8,000 out of the travel category the budget presented to us in email on June 22nd. Reduce it by $8,000.
We have a motion on the table. I move approval.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the motion?
I have no more to say about it. That's, okay. You know.
All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Commissioner motion. Logan, just to confirm, that email was actually on June 21st, not 22nd.
Oh, you're correct. June 22nd is when I sent you an email asking about it. Sorry about that. So the email is June 21st. Thank you. Okay. Next is item eight.
Excuse me, Commissioner Logan. We did not complete the vote on that, did we? Or perhaps Commissioner Wolf and I said it at the same time.
I'm sorry. Okay. Let's do it again. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay, thanks.
It's starting to heat up in my Zoom room. Next is item eight, governance planning. 8A, our governance planning calendar. Are there any changes to the governance planning calendar?
Commissioner Logan, this is Commissioner Olson. I got a couple of and Commissioner Wolf referenced it earlier. I've got a couple of observations with regard to my review of the calendar, and I think it's something that the board did not catch at our last meeting. But Commissioner Wolf was correct that we have on the August 17th meeting, five-member board and the community engagement items. And I might suggest that we relook at that because those are some meaty items. And and we may not be able to give the what I believe is a necessary attention to both of them. So, I might suggest that we keep the five-member board on there and that we find a new date for the community involvement. What do we call that now? I don't know.
Board owner linkage.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Board owner linkage. And so first of all, that's what I might suggest. That's what I do suggest. Leaving five-member on the 8/8/17 and discussing a new date for the other item.
I think before we make a decision that the five-member board discussion is going to be scheduled under commission business in the afternoon, and the board owner linkage is going to be discussed in the morning.
Commissioner Logan, I think those are pretty hefty topics.
Okay.
That's, I look for Commissioner Wolf's input as well. I may be the only one hanging out here that I think that those are some meaty topics to have on.
I agree that they deserve, each one deserves a considerable amount of time. And that's why I was hoping we could have a workshop on the board owner linkage plan instead of just a regular meeting. But also related to that, I've been thinking about that, and I would hope that whatever staff is going to send to us to look at a draft, that we would have that, you know, maybe a week or two ahead of whenever we're going to deal with it. And of the two, my priority, I think we need to deal with the linkage plan more urgently than the five-member board, although both are heavy and both are important. But I would put a priority more on the board owner linkage plan first, and then go to the five-member board.
But I'm fine with moving either of them.
As you said, Commissioner Logan, if we're going to get the report on the five-member, you know, what it would take and how that happens, maybe that could happen in the morning, and then maybe we could do an extended session at some point after the afternoon session.
Again, I would go back to what my initial thought was, five-member board on the 17th, and that we address the other topic, which is a significant topic, at a later meeting. And my thought process was, we identify a meeting when staff would present us with their work. And I think Commissioner Wolf has indicated we receive that at one meeting and we digest it. And then perhaps at the following meeting, we together work on a plan for how we're going to address it, whether that be a workshop, whether that be a regular meeting, but that we put some structure around this so that we aren't just sitting around the table. You know, Tony, I need my structure. So those are my suggestions. Receive staff's input. We digest it for a couple of weeks. And we come back then and discuss how we're going to proceed. So that's my suggestion.
I have no problem with moving the board owner linkage plan to a later meeting. Melissa or Allison, do you have a comment about when would be a good time to move it to? I mean, the others in the future don't look full, but that doesn't mean they're not going to be full when the time comes.
I guess for me, it would be how much, if the commissioners need more than 2 hours, I would say we should do a workshop or a special meeting.
Thank you.
The only reason I say that is because even though things don't look full, you know, if you notice the next couple meetings, they're jam-packed. I think we could end up with very full meetings. And I know this is important. I don't want it to get pushed off the agenda because there's too many other things. So for me, I would rather pick a date, whether it's a board meeting date or a separate meeting, so that we know when that will be.
Thank you. I think that's a great idea. And I really like the idea of having a board workshop on it before we make any, you're right, Commissioner Olson, we have, there's a lot to think about, and we'll have some input from staff, and then we'll each have our own input and thoughts and come up with whatever we think best. But I'm just agreeing with Melissa that I agree that a separate meeting, such as a board workshop, which technically those are open to the public, but I think we need time to deal with that. And after we have our initial meeting on it as a board, we may find that, maybe we do want to get some help from a consultant to come back and help us sort out some things. So that's fine. Well,
I think Melissa's comment was that if the meeting was going to take 2 hours, we should have a special meeting. But I don't think, Melissa, we had, for the August 17th presentation, we hadn't planned on 2 hours for this subject, had we?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? Something dinged on my computer.
Oh, you said if we were going to have a two-hour conversation, it'd be best to have its own meeting, but we weren't planning on having 2 hours of presentation on this one topic on the 17th, were we?
As staff, I was not planning on 2 hours. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying if the three of you are going to have a deep conversation on it, I mean, then we should do a separate meeting. Staff is just bringing some suggestions back, and then it's up to the board to decide, because this is your board owner linkage.
Well, based on these conversations, why don't I suggest that we move board order linkage to September 21st? And then depending how that conversation goes, if we need to, we can schedule a special meeting to have a more in-depth conversation. But I think we owe it to hear what we ask staff to do, to let them present that to us. And then it might be best to let it sit a bit anyway, if we really have a lot of questions or concerns.
This Commissioner Olson, that was my process too, is to receive staff's information and mull it over and then come back with some direction in terms of how we want to proceed to discuss that in terms of a process. Because without that, our track record hasn't been very good about turning out a work product without some kind of structure around it. So I'm agreeing with you.
I would agree with you, Commissioner Olson, that, I mean, I think we all like to have structure. I do. I think we need that. And that's why I think that it would be really good after we hear or after we receive whatever staff presents to us, that we should have a workshop on it and not just a public meeting where it's just part of a bigger meeting. It seems like that should come before we have our public discussion. I don't know why you wouldn't want to have the original in-depth discussion be in a workshop setting.
Well, I think the reason that we did this, and I think we discussed this last time, is that we had an in-depth discussion on it, I think once or twice in the past several months. And what we did is we asked staff to come back to us and give a presentation on what their suggestions are for our engagement. So I think that's the next step, is to, they've been working on that presentation, to have that presentation. And then based on that, we can do more. We can schedule a special meeting or as we see fit. So I think we just need to follow through on the first step, which is what we ask and receive that information. And
okay. And what meeting did you say in September, Commissioner?
September 21st. And I only picked it because so far there's not much on it, but of course I know that will fill up.
So Commissioner Logan, we could also do the board owner linkage under commission business in the afternoon, since it is really the board's.
On what day? What day?
The 21st, September 21st.
That would be fine. That would be fine too.
Yeah. The point being, I don't care where it's on the agenda. Commissioner Logan has suggested 9:21 for staff to make their presentation to us. And I would like us to live with it for a couple of weeks and then come back as a board and make our decision on how we're going to proceed.
Perfect. Thank you.
That work, Commissioner Wolf?
Well, we could receive what they have on the 17th of August and then on the 21st have our discussion under board business. We don't have to have any discussion on it. They could present to us what they've come up with and we could mull it over for a month, and then have, you know, have the commission business discussion a month later instead of pushing it. It's going to be Christmas. Maybe that's what you guys want. I don't know.
We started this conversation because both you and Commissioner Olson didn't want to have the board order linkage plan and the five-member board conversation on the same day. So we left the five-member board conversation for August 17th, and we moved the linkage plan to the following month.
Well, we haven't yet done that. We've talked about that possibility, but why not just get the information on the 17th and then come back on the 21st and have a, you know, more of a conversation about it?
I guess because I'm sure we're going to have a conversation when it gets presented to us.
Well, no, we don't have to.
I don't think we can stop any of us from talking about it and asking questions.
Yeah, I would agree that there will be, in receiving it, we'll have questions of clarification to get a better understanding. So I think putting both of those on the 17th, we'll need to take our no-dos.
Well,
sorry about that.
I made a recommendation to move the linkage, board order linkage plan to the 21st of September. And I don't care if it's in the morning or the afternoon. Commissioner Olson, I think you agreed to that plan. Is that correct?
I support that.
Okay. Commissioner Wolf?
I don't think it matters what I think. That's how I feel. So I've already said, I think we should just receive the information and then we would have some time to really digest it before we do our discussion on it, which is going to be apparently, at least you guys seem to want it during the regular board meeting. I suggested that we have a workshop after we've received the information from staff. And then we have a workshop and really get into it. And then we could come back in a public meeting with some resolution later. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to be.
This Commissioner Olson, I agree with the workshop, Commissioner Wolf, but structured as Commissioner Logan is proposing that we receive it, but receiving it on the 17th and then waiting for a month, Tony's going to forget. You know, I would rather have it consecutive, like we get it 2 weeks later, we go into our workshop. So Commissioner Logan, would you please summarize where I think we may be going or we're not going?
Well, what I was proposing is we will leave for August 17th the conversation about the five-member board. We will move to September 21st, either in the AM or the PM at staff's discretion, the board order linkage plan, and we'll have that presentation. And then if at that time that we think that presentation warrants a deeper conversation and a special meeting, we will schedule a special meeting. For all I know, that plan will be very straightforward and we may be in agreement with it and maybe we don't have to have a special meeting to do it. So I'm trying to be cognizant of staff's time too, to be scheduling special meetings when we don't know if there is a need to have a special meeting. So that's what I'm suggesting.
This Commissioner Olson, I support that plan.
Okay. Commissioner Wolf, can you live with that plan?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anything, any other changes or conversation about the governance planning calendar, commissioners?
Commissioner Logan, I would want to make sure, has staff been clear on this discussion about the linkage plan?
Yes.
Commissioner Logan, summarize it. Did that sink in?
Yep.
Thumbs up. Okay. I just want to make sure we've discussed this back and forth. Just make sure that we ended up in a spot that everybody understood where we were going. Okay.
All right.
Commissioner Logan.
Yes.
It was brought to my attention that we have safety days, the 18th and 19th of August. So our IT staff will be doing a lot of testing on the 17th. How would the commission feel about moving in person to the first meeting in September? Which would be the 7th.
I would be fine with that.
Fine. Okay with me.
So the meeting is, the first in person is
7th. Thank you.
Means you got 2 more months to pick out your first outfit back, coming back to live meetings.
No more jeans.
No more shorts and shirts on the top. So, all right, good catch, Melissa. Is there any other business to come before the board today?
I have nothing. No.
All right. Hearing none, it is 2:46 p.m. and our meeting is adjourned. Be in good health, everyone.